Log Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
Nobody like you, Lord. I know. Y'all sit down before we shout.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for this day, for this day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to welcome you out all tonight in Bible study. It's good to see everyone here in Bible study. We thank God for you. Amen. We know God is worthy to do abundantly, to see all that we can ask for in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We just want to thank God at this time. Open up your mouth and just say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for such a time as this. This is our Bible study hour. Yes. You all here on the preacher and the pastor, and we are the gospel public ministry. That means that your line is open so we can hear you. Open your mouth and just thank God at this time. So we gather here on this platform. We usually gather on another line, which is open so we can hear. So you're able to correspond with us, you know, while we're having Bible study. If you have any comments or you want to add to, you know, any questions, please feel free to do so. Just say, you know, call one, you know, Pastor Man, or say, Pastor, I have a question, and we'll be happy to answer you. So, again, the line is open. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Amen. Pastor Manning is on. He usually is right here, right by me at first. So today he's doing something different. So welcome.
Just preparing. I'm sitting at the kitchen table today. My wife had found a new way to expand this table. So now this table is like three times the size that it used to be, and I'm just going to use this as my workstation on my desk, because, you know, there's a lot of room on this table now. So, yeah, we thank God.
We decided to have a studio in the front. We thank God. He has to tell y'all what he's doing. So, anyway, we thank God for everyone that's on the line. Welcome to Cotton. I see you here in Bible study tonight. We thank God for you, Angie. We thank God for you. I don't know everybody's number to be able to call it, everybody, but we thank God for you here, Victoria and Kenya, here in Bible study tonight as well. And we just want to thank God. Let us pray as we begin our Bible study. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for this opportunity to come, Father God, to the throne with grace, boldly asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. For your word is true, oh God. We ask that your word go forth tonight. Not our word, Lord God. Yeah. Oh Lord, unhindered. We come against every hindering spirit right now with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That our prayers and that our study tonight will not go hindered, but we will be able to see. They will be opened up to receive the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It will change our lives for the better. So Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's in Bible study on tonight.
Thank you,
Lord. And I take every heart, take every mind right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, open up their understanding, Lord. Bless us with revelation, knowledge, and wisdom of your word, so that we may be able to apply to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask you to allow the scripture, Lord God, to take root and manifest in us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted in our hearts and minds, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, as you read your word, Lord God, we ask you, God, Lord, that you help us, Father God, I'm sorry. Lord, bless us, Lord God. Bless us. Add a blessing to the reader, the hearing, most of all, the doers of your word. And we decree and declare that we are the doers of God's word. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We can't thank you enough again. We thank you, oh God. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the shed of blood on the cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth, knowing it cleanses us from all unrighteousness according to 1 John 1:9. It allows us to come boldly to the throne room of grace according to Hebrews 1:16. And we thank you for the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that protects us, that cleanses us, that heals us, that delivers us, that sanctifies, redeems us, justifies, and makes all things new. And we decree and declare in Jesus' name that we're walking in our newness on tonight, and we receive it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for Ms. Connie on tonight, Lord God, which you continue to strengthen her and be with her in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We look at our dear friend Valencia, Elizabeth Allen, as we all come together right now, such an agreement. We pray for divine restoration, health, and healing right in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you divinely intervene right now. Oh, Lord, we ask for your speedy anointing, oh God, to be released on her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just want to say thank you that you heard our prayers and that you answered our prayers in Jesus Christ's holy name. Hallelujah to your name, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Move on this morning right now. Change every heart, oh God. Oh, Lord, we just want to say thank you. We love you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. We thank you again. Thank you, everyone, for being here in Bible study. You could be somewhere else, but you decided to be here with us. And we do believe in allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in Bible study and in prayer. Not speaking before the Holy Spirit, we're going after, you know, following out the word of God and where we live this evening as we continue to talk about pulling down strongholds. My husband, he'll do a recap, Pastor Dorsey Manny, he'll do the recap from last Wednesday so you all can know where we are today. For those that was in Bible study last Wednesday and those who it's your first time here in Bible study with us, so you kind of know where we are. So we just started we just studying pulling down strongholds last Wednesday, so we'll get you caught up. Don't worry, you'll be right where you need to be and understand. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask us, you know, oh, can you repeat that? I have a question. I don't quite understand that. How do I apply that to my life? That's what we're here for. The Bible study is open line for everyone to discuss or questions. And if there's something else that you have a question about, you know, that you come up with, please feel free to, you know, ask that question, okay? Welcome, welcome, welcome again. And I'm excited for everyone being here. If I didn't call your name, please forgive me. Don't charge it to my heart, charge to my mind. So anyway, so Pastor Dorsey Mann is going to do recap as we find my pulling out strongholds. If you have your pen and paper in your Bible, if you don't, you know, go ahead and grab that, have that in Bible study. So you can always take notes. Anything that you missed last Wednesday, you can add it to your notes, and that way you can apply that and, you know, meditate on the Word of God. But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us to study to show ourselves thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know that the Word of God is true. Amen. So go ahead, Pastor Manny, and I'll start where you stop. Amen.
Well, I thank God, you know, for everyone that's here in Bible study tonight. You know, today is a great day to study the Word of God, like every other day. Amen. But today is a great day to study the Word of God. You know, thank God for you all for being in agreement. So now we're talking about pulling down strongholds. Now, this is very important information for us to know. If you don't know about pulling down strongholds, there's a possibility that you can go through your whole life just being beat down, just being destroyed, relationships being destroyed, bodies being destroyed. I mean, all different type of things, you know, can be destroyed by strongholds, because we need to understand that this is the work of Satan. So we're going to learn something today about pulling down strongholds, okay? So we're going to do a recap. The first thing that we should understand about pulling down strongholds is there are two invisible kingdoms, two invisible spiritual kingdoms. And, of course, first is the kingdom of God. There's an invisible spiritual kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, and then there is the kingdom of Satan. Now, this is something that I really never was taught, you know, growing up. There was this kingdom of Satan. I always thought that Satan was in hell, and which that found out that's not true, you know. So he is destined to be there, but we need to know that, you know, Satan is real. And a lot of times, you know, we think that, you know, oh, Satan's not real. But, you know, there are two invisible kingdoms, and one is the kingdom of God, and the other one is the kingdom of Satan. Okay? So, and we also need to understand that Jesus Christ, he engaged in spiritual warfare during his walk on earth. Okay? He engaged in spiritual warfare during his walk on earth. Okay, we need to understand that. I won't go too deep into that. You know, we'll keep the integrity of the Bible study lesson tonight. Okay, we also need to understand that waging spiritual warfare as a Christian, we need to understand, you know, that we wage spiritual warfare as a Christian. You know, we need to understand the nature of Satan's kingdom and how it operates. Okay. Do understand this. Me and my wife, we found this out, you know, that Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of Satan, is very organized. It's very organized. And there are people that are placed in place, or there are spirits, you know, that are underneath Satan that are in place to keep the organization of his kingdom. We learned this here during the last Bible study, just to recap. Okay? All right. So it's a few questions, you know, that we should always keep these questions in mind. you know, these are a couple questions about pulling down strongholds, okay? First question is, why is there spiritual warfare? Why is there spiritual warfare? That's one question that we should keep in mind. Why is there spiritual warfare? Second question is, who is fighting whom? So who is fighting whom? That's another question that we should keep in mind. Third question is, which side are we aligned with? Which side, which kingdom are you aligned with? And we can have a whole different Bible study just on that one. All right. Then the fourth question is, how can we wage spiritual warfare with discernment and effectiveness? So these questions right here, you know, just make sure that we take note of these questions. Why is there spiritual warfare? Who's fighting whom? Which side are we aligned with? And how can we wage spiritual warfare with discernment and effectiveness? Okay? So we had already talked about last week over here in chapter 1. I think we left off and we stopped at chapter 2. But over in chapter 1, we discussed an invisible spiritual warfare, the invisible spiritual warfare. And we reference over here in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 30. You know, we're not going to go back through it now, you know. If you have your pen and paper, you know, write that down. You know, we reference an invisible spiritual warfare. The reference was Matthew chapter 12, 22 through verse 30. Okay? It talked about the invisible. This chapter talks about the invisible kingdom of Satan and the representatives of Satan, which is the demon. You know, one man, he was possessed by a demon. You know, it said he was dumb and deaf. Tell you just that part there. Okay? All right, we also need to know that God is represented by Jesus, and we are also called to continue his ministry in the name of Jesus, according to John 14 and 12. Okay, God's kingdom is represented by Jesus, and we, as Christians, are also called to continue in the ministry in the name of Jesus. Okay, all right. Okay, we need to understand and keep in account that Satan fears the ministry of deliverance. Satan fears the ministry of deliverance, according to pulling down strongholds, for two reasons. Okay? And reason number one is because it brings his invisible kingdom out into the open. Okay? That's why Satan, he fears deliverance. Deliverance of addictions, the deliverance of healing, deliverance of anything that you're delivered from. He fears that because it brings his kingdom out into the open. There's certain things that we would not fear because of, oh, we know that we can be delivered from it. Okay? And the second thing is it shows the supremacy and the victory of God's kingdom over Satan's kingdom. All right? So those two things that we should keep in mind on according to pulling down the strongholds and the invisible kingdom of Satan. All right, those two. So I think we left off right here in chapter 2. I'll just hit it a little bit, and I'll give it back to my beautiful wife, Pastor Manning. Chapter 2, we discuss the highly organization of Satan's kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 6 and 12, write that down, Ephesians chapter 6 and 12. Okay, that's what we reference, Ephesians chapter 6 and 12. And it talks about, this was Paul describing the kingdom of Satan. And that is a recap of where we were at last week. So, Pastor Manning, you can pick it up from right here. Chapter 2, we stopped at world dominators. World dominators of darkness.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless. If you have any questions about the recap, you all, please feel free. Your lines are open so we can hear you. So if you have any questions about the recap as we're studying pulling down strongholds.
Uh-huh.
Anybody have any questions? Jamil, Sister Dillard, Sister Mackie, Sister Dudley, Sister Norvin, anyone of y'all have any questions? And tonight I'm just calling out some of you all names. Sister Kim Cotton, do you, any of y'all have any questions? I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I don't know what page you are.
Come again. Who's speaking?
Jamil.
Okay, you got background stuff going on. We're recapping from last Wednesday. Were you in Bible study last Wednesday?
I was.
Okay, so we're talking about pulling down strongholds, and he's coming out the book of Ephesians. As we're talking about pulling down strongholds, we're also coming out the book of Matthew and John. So all we did was go over a recap from last Wednesday so everybody can be on the same page today. If anybody had any questions about last Wednesday's Bible study, because we're still studying pulling down strongholds and what that means and how do we pull down strongholds and understanding the two different kingdoms that is operating right now. So you have any questions about that?
No,
can you give
I don't.
Me a little clarity of pulling down strongholds? I'm sorry, this is Angie. Can I get a little bit more clarity of pulling down strongholds?
Okay, what is your question?
Okay. Can I get a little clarity of the meaning of that, pulling down strongholds?
Beautiful wife.
Okay. So with the study is that we're talking about pulling down strongholds, and as we go through the study of this, we're going to talk about what does it mean to pull down strongholds, where did it start at, you know, so we're talking about right now as we continue talking about pulling down strongholds, we've recapped about open warfare, so you can understand there's a warfare. So how do these strongholds begin? How does it operate? Where did it get started at? You know, so we're going from the beginning and walking you through the process of what it means to pull down strongholds. So if you know where things begin and know how it grows, then you'll know how to pull those strongholds down. First, it's like dealing with the root. So we deal with the root and find out what's the root of it. Then we can uproot those things. We can pull those things down. So as you continue to walk with us doing this Bible study of pulling down strongholds, then you'll begin to understand, you know, what does it mean to pull down strongholds? How did it get started? What's the question? How do I war against that? And so that's what we're talking about here as we're talking about pulling down strongholds. So as he was going over, just kind of bringing you up about, you know, where we are now, so you can understand.
Strongholds are, because this is one thing.
Oh, she
wanted
a question. Are you asking what are strongholds?
Yeah.
Or are you asking?
Strongholds are things like, okay, if you know
anything
that you're always angry, you know you're always angry for some sort of reason, and you can't seem to not be angry. See, that's a stronghold. Or you know that you have an addiction of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, you know, that's causing you to think or feel in a type of way that you know that not is of God, then it is of Satan. If it does not line up with the word of God, then it's a stronghold over your life.
So when we're talking about a stronghold, like a stronghold of the mind is like it's a lie that Satan has established.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that we count as true, but it's actually a false belief. So, you know, so when we embrace these lies, they affect our attitudes and our emotions and our behavior. So God wants all of us, you know, all his children to walk in victory and freedom in our lives and in our thoughts and our thought lives. So, and that's why we're talking about pulling down strongholds and where does it start. So if you can understand the root in the beginning, as my husband was recapping from last Wednesday, we were talking about the open war, the reality of, you know, evil spirits in the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. And then we're talking about the highly organized satanic kingdom. And so that comes out of the book of Ephesians 6 and 12. Let me know if I'm moving too fast. And so, and that was just last week, so you didn't miss too much. And then understand the rulers with authority and understand that Satan's kingdom is an organized kingdom just like God's kingdom is, because he once was part of God's organized kingdom. So it's not something that he came up with on his own. He just created, you know, he duplicated what he saw, what he was a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So does that answer your question, kind of get you understanding as we go ahead? Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead.
All right. For example, this is what I want to ask.
Is this Kim?
So if you identify, can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
somebody, you have a lot of stuff going on in your background. If you can mute the call just like you're talking so we can hear the other person. So if you can mute your call unless you have a question so that we can hear, so everybody can hear the question, because I'm sure someone may need an answer to what she's going to ask so that we can hear and understand what she's saying. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, so I hear you saying, like, in order to get rid of or break a stronghold, you have to identify the root. And I can go ahead and say and share that I know anger runs in my family as far as, like, response, like just anger. And there's another one, like stubbornness and, you know, just like, I kind of, like, freeze up sometimes, and I just will not, like, I'm not able to just kind of relax and express myself. I get really tense, and, you know, I know that's a stronghold, like, just getting angry, mm-hmm. shutting down. And, like, so to be able to identify it, to be able to identify the root, I understand where it comes from. It, you know, I know it comes from my family. I know it comes from fear, shyness, you know, the hurt. I've identified the root, I think. So once you've identified mm-hmm. it, I mean, what happens then? You know what I mean? I know I go to prayer about it, but, you know, as far as beyond that, just soliciting prayer from other people, or, you know what I'm saying? I want it broken. I'm yelling at my kids, and, you know, but, you know, I get angry. Like, in lately, even more recently, with all the pressure and all the things that are going on, and, you know, the stress is like the anger, you know, I can't express it at work. It's there, just angry. And I'm like, I don't want to take it out on my children, and I don't want to, you know, get sick internally, but, yeah.
I have a scripture for you, Kim. I have a scripture. Mm-hmm. And this scripture here, this is how we war against strongholds. You use the word of God. And I want you to go to Proverbs 15, Proverbs 15 and 1. And just what you're talking about, mm-hmm. this is how you war against strongholds. Proverbs 15
and 1.
A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles the temper of fire. Now, I read this from the Message part, and I read it from the New International Version. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See, what this right here scripture
and
is saying right here. Go ahead.
Let me add to that right quick, Pastor. I want to add to that, and he'll break it down for you. You have to exercise. You have to exercise it every day. It's not like you pray the prayer and then it just goes away, because that's, you know, that stronghold. You can break it. You can come and you can uproot that thing and it keep coming. So then you got to exercise that you prayed about. And then you got every day you got to exercise. Just like your body, you want to stay fit. You want to stay in shape. So you got to exercise that thing. So then you got to exercise that thing that's been holding you. So he said, give a gentle word. Instead of anger, decide yourself, because you got to take control, you know, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So each day we got to renew our mind. We got to exercise that thing. Right? So now it doesn't have a hold on us anymore. How we used to respond, now we're thinking about it, because that's the renewal of our mind. So we're thinking, okay, I used to respond that way, but now you know what? I decree and declare that I'm delivered from that, so I'm not going to operate that way. So now you're exercising. You see what I'm saying? You're exercising that thing. So you're pulling down that thing. So as we continue to study, you understand more, you know, what it means to pull down strongholds, because it's not just, oh, I'm just pulling down a stronghold, but what is the process, and how do I stay, you know, how do I not fall back into that hole? You know what I'm saying? How do I fall back into that stronghold? Go ahead, Pastor. I just wanted to say that.
That's right. The most things that make you angry is not necessarily what's going on right there in front of you. It's something that could possibly you've been dealing with, or something that has not been dealt with, that causes these emotions, you know, to be stirred up on the inside. And any little thing would cause you to be angry. The wrong word, a word that I don't want to hear right now, that would cause you to be angry. But what the Bible tells us is, if you can keep your mouth from speaking, then what you have did, physically what you have did was, you have caused an angry word or angry thought not to be put, not to come out of your mouth, and not to stir up anything else, any other words or any other thing. So we must be wise in every single thing that we say. Every single thing that you say, you know, you have to ask yourself this question, you know, before you say it. And this is not just something, you know, that's going to happen overnight. It's something that you have to practice. You have to ask yourself this question. Okay, if I respond to that, that's going to cause me to be angry. And I already know this don't want to go. I don't want to be angry. So what is the wisest thing that I can say at this point in time? If you can do that, then you're stepping out of anger and you're stepping into temperance, which is self-control, and that's being able to control words that come out of my
And so just like Pastor saying, you know, we pray. And we wait for that thing. And but it's when you pray, it's something for you to do as well, not just to pray, but it's for you to pray to come against that thing and walk in it. It ain't one thing to say, oh, I prayed about it, and okay, God's gonna do it. But it's for you to walk in. It's something for you to. You know, it's one thing to pray and then walk in it, and believe in it. If you believe that you're delivered, guess what? Then you start operating deliverance. If you believe. You got to have faith in that if you believe it and believe, because if you don't, the moment you come out of prayer, some people can pray, and as soon as they get through praying, they cussing somebody out. But you haven't believed in what you prayed in, because then you got to take that what you prayed about, and then you got to apply that, and you got to walk into it. Is that helping, Kim? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, what you just said about exercising it out daily, that helped a lot too, you know, because I have been kind of practicing, but I just get upset with myself, you know, when I mess up. But, you know, that exercising comment really helped a lot.
Yeah, get back up again. That's one thing about, you know, a lot of our believers, we feel like, oh, we made a mistake, and I keep making the same mistake, but get back up again. The trick of the enemy is to make you feel condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ. So don't stay there. You get back up again. You know, if you feel like when you gain weight, you fall off, you decide, you know what, this is not me. I don't want to be this girl. So you begin to work at it, and each and every day you're working at it, you exercise, you're changing what you eat. That's the same thing with it. You know, you decreed and declared it over your life, the same thing when you pray. Now it's something for you to do. It's for you to believe and receive it. That's why I tell people, once you before you pray, you must believe in what you're praying about, because if you don't, you're not going to receive that thing. You're going to be waiting for something that's not going to come because you don't believe it, and you're not going to begin to walk in it. So pray, and then it's something for you to do. Walk in what you prayed about. Believe in what you prayed about. Have faith in it, and just go. So now you're practicing that thing. You're exercising your faith. You're exercising. You're believing that you're delivered. So now you're walking in deliverance.
Yeah. Anger comes from fear of something that's going to happen, or fear that something is not going to happen. That's what anger comes from.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next. Those are the two, and I want to say that part too, because I know it's the fear. Like I'll close up, like I'll tense up, like going on stage, and you know it's my turn to talk, and I get so tense and so scared, and you know it's related. So I'm like, what about the fear when I just get so tense I can't even release? Like, even when it's time to preach or give a word or a message, I have it in me, but I get so tense where it's like, and then I could do it around people, you know, I'm comfortable at home, but when I'm around others and I want to, like, release it and go forward, but I just freeze up and shut down and I just feel ridiculous, you know? But it's
right.
Like,
it's the trickery of the enemy to keep you right there to operate in fear, to have that stronghold over you. My suggestion, Kim, is when it's time for you to speak, we go, whenever there's a word, especially with me, that's a word from God, I always have this fear and trembling, because we're talking about God, Almighty God, and understanding who God is, and anything that we do for God, we don't want to be an error. We don't want to say the wrong thing, but just go ahead, just push past that, you know, push past the fear. Even if your voice starts out shaky, it will clear itself up. You know, pray the prayer and walk in it. Pray the prayer and just go ahead and go up, even if you're shaking, and speak about how you feel. That's fine. The enemy does not want you to speak about how you feel. If you're taking that step to go up there and get to the podium or get in the pulpit and speak, tell him, you know what, I know the enemy is trying to. My voice is shaky right now, but I believe God. Father God, I ask you right now, I decrease so that you can have all the increase. Speak. You have power and the authority in your mouth to speak those things, and just speak about it. It's okay, because you got many people that are listening and saying, I feel the same way. That's why I haven't taken that step. Now I realize it's a stronghold that Satan has me in to try to stop me, to make me have fear. What am I fearing for? You know, what is the fear about? Because God did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power, love and power and a sound mind. So that's not of God. We know right then that's a stronghold of Satan. So if he can keep us right there, he can stop us from progressing and receiving what God has for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you can sing helps you launch into that comfort or that confidence. If you can sing, even if you can't sing so good, sing. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms 34, sing unto the Lord a new song. The Bible says in Psalms 34 that the highest form of praise is the word, which is singing. So if you can sing, I mean, that would probably be one of the places Me and my wife, we were studying that last night, singing, pushing
it
to rest.
I don't think Ken sings, though. Can you sing?
Even if you can hum. If you can hum, you
never,
can sing
I
whatever.
I never heard Ken sing.
But the word of God tells us that, you know, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, you know, through songs, through hymns. That's that place that where you enter into a rest, you enter into a calm state of mind, and you're able to deliver, you know, what you need to deliver, because you're singing unto God, it ushers in the Holy Spirit. It ushers it in so you can be able to use it, you know, let God use you.
Amen.
That is a good way. There are other ways
Amen.
As well, but that might help. Amen.
Oh, man. All right, you all. Anyone else have any questions or comments? We're going to dive into, you know, as we continue to talk about strongholds, we're going to go into a different part of understanding the world and dominators of darkness here. But does anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything? All right. Okay. So right now we're going to be talking about world dominators of darkness, you all, and as my husband did the recap for the first part of Ephesians 6 and 12, we're going to talk about that, for the Bible says, our wrestling match is not against persons with bodies, you all, but against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority against the world denominators of the present darkness. So here the word denominators is translating from the Greek because it is a powerful word. So I choose also because God never dominates anybody. Understand, God never dominates anybody. He gives us free will, you all. We have free will. We ask God to let his will be done in our life. So understand this. Write this down. God never dominates anybody. So wherever you encounter domination, you can be sure that it is satanic, okay, you all? Anywhere that there is domination, that you encounter domination, you all can be sure that it is satanic, okay? A lot of people have been part of churches. They thought was, you know, that God was there in the presence of God, and found out it was a cult. They were dominating. They were trying to dominate you and control you. Understand that is satanic. So we're talking about world dominators of darkness, you all, as we continue to talk about pulling down strongholds. So this is now how God rules people, you all. He does not dominate us. He does not dominate anybody. You have free will. So Satan's ambition, however, is to dominate the whole world, you all. So I want to know, do you all understand that? That's what he wants to do. He wants to dominate the whole world. And as we know, God has given us dominion over this earth. So Satan, he is not content at all. He's not content with dominating a small portion of humanity. He is determined to rule the entire world through his kingdom of darkness. Does somebody have a question?
What you want? About the day or something?
Mama, you talking to us?
Oh, my father.
Mama.
I'm talking to the kids. That's a mute.
Okay, put us on mute.
I'm talking to the kids.
Okay, put us on mute then. I thought you were saying something to me. Okay, thank you. For the most part, the people who are currently in Satan's kingdom, they don't realize where they really are because it is a kingdom of darkness, and they can't see it. So in contrast, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of light, you all. Therefore, those who are in his kingdom know where they are. So if you're in a kingdom of light, which is God's light, we know we are. Me and my husband were talking about, you know, darkness and light and being in heaven, and, you know, there's no darkness there. There's no, you know, night and day. It's always light. God is the light. So anybody have any questions about that so far? Everybody understand that God does not dominate us, right? He's not a God that's dominating. You all understand that, right? Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions? I'm sorry. Okay. We'll keep
domination.
Going. So then we're going to talk about spirit. Did you say something?
Yes, I was saying dominate. When you look at domination, what is dominating you today? You know, when you want to look at dominators. And most of the thing that's dominating us today is our own acts or the acts of someone, which either they sin or cause us to sin. Satan will dominate you in this area. Or the love of money, that is another way, you know, that you dominate, or is either our sexual activities. I know those three. Growing up, I've seen those three: money, sex, and then there was sin, which in my time it was drugs or beer drinking or doing all those type of things. These are things that dominate you, and there are other things that
you right. They operate in darkness, so you can't see exactly what it's doing to you. You know, those things, you can't really see what it's doing to you. It's like a thief in the night, you know, like, you know, I'm a die trying to get money. This will make me feel good. I'm a do me, that type of thing. And you don't even realize it. And, you know, that you're part of the kingdom of darkness. And these are ways that actually urge you in, you know, to operate in the kingdom of darkness. All right. So if anyone doesn't have any questions, we're going to continue on. We're talking about spiritual hosts and wickedness, you all, as we just talked about Ephesians 6 and 12. Here's the final phrase from Ephesians 6 and 12. It says, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies, in heavenly places. So the word here, host, is in the old English word for army. It means army, you all. Again, if you want to write that down, what does host mean? It means army. So according to the scripture, vast armies of satanic beings, persons without bodies are arrayed in battle against us. So it's important that we know this isn't. So if we truly understand the nature and scope of the forces we are up against, it will adjust our perspective and transform our lives. So we're talking about knowing, you know, I said, you know better, you do better. And when you know what you're dealing, what you're up against, if you're not going to go to a gunfight with a stick, you know, but understanding what you're up against, you know, so when you know, you can better prepare yourself and be able to defeat that thing, you know. You don't come to defeat, you didn't come to lose, you didn't come to just sit on the sideline, you come to win and to, you know, be victorious in this fight. So let's understand the heavenlies, you all. Somebody, I'm not sure who phone it is, but if you could put your phone on mute, because we're getting like, we can hear everything in the background. It sounds like a washing or a moving or something like that, something's moving. We just want people to be able not to be distracted and be able to hear. And so I can hear anyone that has any questions. Thank you so much. So does anybody have any questions about that, understanding, you know, the spiritual host of wickedness? Okay. So now we're going to understand the heavenlies here. So let us examine Paul's assertion here that Satan's headquarters are in the heavenlies, you guys. You're like, what? In the heavenlies? What do you mean the heavenlies? Understand there's more than one. It's not just one level of heaven. There are levels to heaven, and there are different parts of heaven. So this is a widespread misunderstanding among many church members who speak about Satan as he is in hell. My husband said earlier, you know, Satan is not in hell. He is amongst us, you know, walking the earth. So hell is a place of confinement. So here we're going to talk about, you know, below the surface of the earth for wicked persons. So here is our, here's our comment on this misunderstanding. It would be nice if Satan were in hell, but he isn't, you all. He is very much at large here on earth. He is extremely active, you know, and his kingdom is in the heavenlies. So you may be thinking, didn't we just say that Satan and his agents were cast out of heaven? And that is true. Yes, it is true. However, the key to understanding the location of Satan's kingdom is to recognize that the Bible teaches that there are more heavens than one we usually talk about. So it is absolutely essential to understand this reality. So the first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens, which is plural, H-E-A-V-E-N-S. And you all can go for yourself and look in Genesis 1. You'll see that the Bible tells us in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth, which is singular, in Genesis 1 and 1. So from the very beginning of the Bible, we have this revelation that there is more than one heaven. Everybody with me? So these two passages in the New Testament clearly confirms this point. The first is 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 4 chapters, so in which Paul was writing about people he knew who had enjoyed marvelous spiritual experiences. And he mentioned one particular person who had been caught up from the earthly level into the heavenlies. So Paul further said that he didn't know whether the person had this experience while in his body or outside of his body. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 12 before you all. It says, you can write that down and always go back to it. At 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 4, it says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I don't know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up in the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard experiencible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So notice that Paul said this fellow Christian was caught up to the third heaven. He also said that he was caught up into paradise, which was seen to suggest that paradise is in the third heaven. Since in the third heaven, this man heard the words of God, and the third heaven, paradise, would apparently be the dwelling place of God. So if you all look at 2 Corinthians to see, you know, what we're seeing here to be true according to Scripture. So, and, you know, being a logical person, or a logician, and now I cannot escape from, you know, the logic of it. And one fact that I'm convinced, as me and my husband are studying, you know, the Word of God and studying the strongholds and what does it mean and understanding the heavens, and we went and we looked and searched. So being convinced of this, if there is a third heaven, there must be a first and a second. As we know, if there's a third, it has to be a first and a second, you know. So there never has been a third of anything without a first and a second. So this scripture tells us there are at least three heavens. That is what, you know, we believe. So also look at this example in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and 14 and Nehemiah chapter 9 and 6. Are you all with me? Everybody with me? Anybody have any questions or comments?
Nehemiah
chapter 9, verse 6, and Deuteronomy 10 and 14. If you all want to go there with me, that's fine. You can read it for yourself. Again, that's Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10. Excuse me. Verse 14. Oh, Kathy, you got it over there? Okay, you want to read it?
Deuteronomy 10 and 14. It says, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God. The earth also, with all therein, is."
Amen. So we see right here, that's 10 and 14. Deuteronomy 10 and 14. You also we see it here, and also if you go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 6. Are you there, Pastor?
Say Nehemiah.
9 and 6. Uh-huh, Nehemiah. Nehemiah.
9 and 6.
So you read there. Mm-hmm.
Nehemiah 9 and 6 says, "Though even though art the Lord alone, he says, thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all the hosts, the earth, and of all things that are therein, the seas, and all that therein, and I preserve them all, and the host of heaven worship thee." This is
okay,
Nehemiah.
Okay, so we see here, three times. Nine and six. Okay. But does anyone have any questions further? I don't want to go, you know, before you. If anybody have any questions, please feel free to ask any question. Me and my husband, we love to answer it for you. As we lay it. Anybody have any questions so far as we're talking about the heavenly? Okay. All right, so we're talking about all the heavens here. So one other scripture that infers the existence of more than one heaven is Ephesians 4 and 10. Speaking of what happened to Jesus in his death and resurrection, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and 10, you all, "He who descended into hell is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might feel all things." So notice that Paul said Jesus ascended far above all the heavens. So when we look at this in terms of the English as a second language, as we're looking at it in the English version, you all, because we have different versions, you have different versions of the Bible and understanding and discovering, you know, just trying to understand what it means and not being confused and discovering that there are certain aspects, even our English grammar, that can be very confusing. And me and my husband, we were, not to get off subject, but we were talking about being in prison and, you know, being a prison to sin and being being a slave to prison and enslaved to God. And we went back and forth because of the different grammar and, you know, the words that they choose, that they were translating the Bible. So you may have, you know, may have a struggle with some of the, you know, some of them yourselves. So one such pitfall is the use of the word "all," because it cannot be used in certain situations. So So, for example, one day, if we just want to talk about what all means and understand, if you say, like, oh, we did it all, but oh, we only did, we really didn't do it all. We really just did like five of the all. Or if you did it all, then there's 10, so that means that's all. But if you're saying all, but it's all, and it's actually 10, and you only did five, then it's a representation of the word all. Do we understand that?
Right.
So we can't use the word all for fewer than, you know, if we're talking about there are three people or if there's 10 people and say, oh, it's for all, or say, you know, all women are like that. And that's not true. And all women have attitudes, or all men are no good, or all, you know, we can't say all because we only know the, we only know the experience of one or two people, or we only heard the story of one or two people, so we can't say all. You know, all people die from this, or all people get sick from that. We can't say that. So we got to be careful how we use the word all. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Everybody understand? Anybody with me? I know y'all
are
mute. Okay, okay. So if you don't have any, if you have any questions regarding it, just let me know or let my husband know, and we'll go back over. But understanding also, when Paul said that Jesus ascended above all the heavens, understanding here to mean that there must have been and still are at least three heavens. So I'm not claiming that my opinion is necessarily the only correct one, but I have concluded that, you know, after me and my husband were studying this and we went to the Bible and we went back and forth, we kind of got stuck right there and was like, okay, let's search this thing. And we were constantly trying to, you know, we're studying to show ourselves approved, you know, before we teach this thing. So I concluded that the third heaven is the heaven of God's dwelling place. Because I, you know, I study seven commentaries and, you know, different readings as I'm led and have an understanding, even with the lost books of the Bible. It just understand, you understand, you know, where it is here in the Bible that we're reading, that we believe and trust in, and we don't read the Bible for error. We read the Bible because, you know, we believe in just, you know, for correction, for us to correct us in our life and the way we live. So it is a, you know, an understanding. We talk about the third heaven, that is God's dwelling place. So it's a holy heaven. So remember that God dwells above even heaven. So the Bible stores this fact in many places. And we can see, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. Also, and you can write these down, these scriptures down and go back to it. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and 6, verse 6 and chapter 6 and verse 18. We see it in Psalms 8 and 1, Hebrews 7 and 26, which is chapter 7 and verse 26. So therefore, I suggest that the first heaven could be the visible heaven that we see, the sky above us, which is the cloud. Then there remains a second heaven, although it is never actually called that, which is somewhere between the visible heaven, the sky, and the heaven of God's dwelling. So I believe this, and the second heaven is the heavenlies, our heavenly places where Satan's kingdom is located. So maybe you would think that, you know, we'll be naive with a sense or even the studies and those who have studied and different scholars. But let's offer this this following theory to you all over the course of different ministries and people that are different apostles and different commentaries, those who have traveled, you know, here and there and far, you know, having an understanding of what the Bible is saying and what does it mean here. So this may be completely, you know, ours and theirs own subjective impression, but somewhere between God's heavenly domain and us is a hostile kingdom that opposes us and seeks to hinder our prayers. And that is why we sometimes have to push through enemy territory when we pray. It is not that we are praying out of the will, you know, out of the will of God, or that God is unwilling to hear us, but that we have to penetrate a hostile kingdom in the heavens in order to reach him. So that's when we talk about spiritual warfare and coming against and saying, you know, Father God, release your angels of war, oh God, to war against that is in the heavens, that is stopping our, that's trying to prevent our prayers for being answered. So does anyone have any questions about that? And we're going to talk about, we have a few more minutes here as we continue talking about, and we'll talk about more about war in the heavenlies. So we'll talk about that next Wednesday before we get all the way into that. At this time, I'll just open it up for any questions or comments about what was all said right now or anything that's on your heart. So if you have any questions or comments to add, this is the time that we're going to do that. Do so in the last 6 minutes here of Bible study. And then next Wednesday, we'll talk about the war in the heavenlies. And so this is going to teach us how to really pull down those strongholds and how to war according to the Bible. Does anybody have any
questions or comments?
Nobody else mm-hmm. have anything. We were over here.
I know some people are on mute. They're on mute. I know some people are on mute right now, and I'm just giving them a chance to come off mute. You can go ahead and speak. And just because he's speaking, if you want to speak, just say, excuse me, Pastor, and because I know it's everybody's on mute right now so that people can hear. So if you have any questions, still feel free to you interrupt and just say, excuse me, Pastor, and we'll stop so we can get your comment or question. Right. Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I just realized that when we were reading Nehemiah 9 and 6, I realized, you know, by reading this that Nehemiah 9 and 6, it describes heaven, which is God's resting place. This is where God is over all of the mm-hmm. heaven. And it included mm-hmm. earth. It has also mm-hmm. included the sea. And mm-hmm. so according to this scripture, where we live at is one of the heavens that God created. And who really knows that? We always were taught that, we live on earth, or we live in earth, and God lives in heaven. We're trying to make it from earth to heaven. But according to this scripture right here, we don't live in the sea.
Well,
so we don't live in that part of the heavenlies. We talk about the heavenlies.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Let's go back to that scripture, because it says here, okay, I'm in the King James Version. I don't know what Bible you're looking at when you come out of.
Yeah,
but it says, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heaven, with all their hosts. And it's also saying that he also made the earth and everything that's on it. So it's separate.
Right.
It's not saying that earth is heaven
right.
as
I
well. It's saying this is what God created, the heaven and the heavens
right.
and the earth and everything that's in it.
So that means that God created. So, and that's what I was saying, that, I mean, according to this scripture right here, earth, you know, it is part of the heavenly. So I should really look at that as being, you know what, and this is what God gave us dominion over. God gave us dominion over what he created, you know, which is part of the heavenlies, which is earth and the sea.
Mm.
And that's just really something for me to think about. You know, that's something for me to think about. I don't know about anybody else who looked at that. Because, I mean, you gave me part of.
We'll have the revelation on that perspective of it to see it as.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more, you know, more studies on the heavenlies, because even on next Wednesday, we'll talk about war in the heavenlies. You know, we know for sure that there's a war here on earth, you know, between, you know, the two kingdoms, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. So we're definitely having
a war here.
Every single day is a war. So, there's warfare every day, spiritual warfare. We have to pray for our intercessors. I'm an intercessor. My husband's an intercessor for those that are interceding, because as an intercessor, as you're warring, and anybody go to war, you know, whether they get wounded or, you know, what happened or get sick in war, you know, there is a war, and you have people that are warring. They're intercessors. They're warriors in the spirit. And so definitely want to be lifting up our intercessors on today and understand more, to be understanding pulling down strongholds and the whole full concept and the umbrella of it as we talk about war in the heavens next Wednesday. Anybody else have any questions? Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Anyone? Mama, you don't have any questions tonight? Jamil, you don't have any questions tonight?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. You all had an understanding of it. You know, I'd like to get some feedback on, you know, the study for tonight. Did it help? Did it help anyone? Definitely want to make sure that, we're helping.
It helped me, Angie. It did help me. And it's my first time being on here. It did help me. Did enjoy it.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. All right, we see Miss Deborah on the Miss Debbie, Deborah, and Debbie on the line. God bless you. Good to see you in Bible study. Mm-hmm. We missed you last Wednesday, so I'm glad to see you in Bible study. It's always good to see everyone. See my Aunt Sharon here. Aunt Sharon, you didn't have any questions? God bless you.
Well, I didn't have any questions, but I did want to get the scriptures that were given for tonight.
No,
study.
But I did have a comment on the stronghold.
Okay.
I had a stronghold